Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled All Involved. The readings are taken from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 26, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. The first reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 12. One body with many parts. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that have seemed weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honourable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honourable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honour and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Second New Testament reading is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. And the section is entitled, The Living Stone and a Chosen People. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so very much. I was reflecting, actually, I stand corrected, because although I kind of do the leading and the talk, it's a small role compared to what a lot of people have been doing since this early this morning. So it's not a one-man show. People have been opening the church, people have been preparing and clearing and vacuuming. We had the worship team, people doing the readings, we'll have someone doing the prayers, we'll have people praying later during the prayer ministry, we'll have people serving tea and coffee. So we are part of a body trying to open this space for all of us to meet with God. And each and every one of you this morning can be God's instruments as you're going to have conversation. You might bring an encouragement. You might share a story of what God has done with you this week and encourage and strengthen someone. So this morning we are continuing this vision of our church, which is centered around what it means to encounter God in our midst, to grow as followers of Jesus, and to participate in the life of His Spirit. And we have some values, which is how we do that. And maybe you remembered we looked at being rooted, having roots in prayer, roots in the Scripture, roots in the life of Jesus. We've looked at what it means to be generous, not just with the money, but with our time, with our talent, with our skills, to be generous towards each other. And today we're going to look at what it means to be all involved, part of the body. And it's going to be a fluid talk, so might skip things and I might insist on others. We'll see how it works. But if there is just three words to remember this morning, is that it's body, building, and it should be nation, but it doesn't work with this. So it's body, building, and instead of nation, country. It's kind of similar. BBC. So remember those three: body, building, and nation/country, see country. And those are three pictures that we see in our readings to help us understand what it means to be part of a faith community. The reality is that we are, as Christians, we've been called by God through His Spirit into a place, a body. We've been sent into the world as a body of people representing Him. And so we have like a building. We are building God's desires and intentions in our world. We're all part of that body. We're all part of that building. We're all part of that nation, so a new country. And we're going to explore that. One body we have in our first reading in Corinthians, a well-known reading written to a local faith community, the Corinthians, and the context is that of the gifts that God gives to the people of God, the spiritual gift for God's working, the way God manifests Himself in the life of a local church, in a sense, God's visible presence at the time of gathering and worship, times like this. And the kind of key idea is that we need a variety of signs. We need a variety of gifts. Often this is looking at unity within diversity. But actually, Paul, or the writer here in this passage, turns it around, is that there is unity. And we'll speak, the unity is God's Spirit who brings. That's the unity. God brings us together. It's the diversity that often we miss. It needs to be diverse. Diversity within unity. And if you can read that, it's just the kind of the context, and it shows you how much it is about diversity before it's about unity. In that passage just before what we read, it speaks about the diversity of gift, the diversity of service, the diversity of working. That's all the signs of God's life. And the unity is the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. And it looks like the writer speaks of God Himself the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the same Lord Jesus as our Lord, the same God and Father. And so the unity is there because God is one, and the diversity is there because God is three. And so the very reality of God's character and being is expressed in his church. But the diversity, you can see all the list of gifts there, message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits. I'm not going to look at that because we had that a few weeks ago, I think, or a few months ago. We looked at that in greater details. But again, you see, through the Spirit, by the same Spirit, that's the unity. That's God at work within us. And this list is not like an exhaustive list. It's just to represent the diversity, the beauty, the creativity of God at work in that church. Their problems is that they were focusing on a few things, the more extraordinary things, and they were forgetting that we all are needed. And the main also kind of flow is it is for the common good. It is for us to grow, to be built up, to be encouraged to know God better and to represent him better in our world. So one body, but many parts, we have this. And this idea of body in the time of the writer Paul was well known in the area of politics or philosophy. So it was a discourse and speech about body when they were talking about like a city. A city is like a body and we all need each other, or maybe the empire. And Paul uses that now for the faith community. We are one body with one person we all follow, which is Jesus. We are the body of Jesus Christ. And we are brought in by God himself. When we experience the Holy Spirit, when our eyes get open to who Jesus is, what he's done for my life, and how he starts transforming me, we are brought into that body. And in that body, there are various activities or ministries of gifts. There are a variety of people with all kind of backgrounds, all kind of ages. And we are not the same, but we are all important and necessary because we all bring a gift. We are all God's gift to each other. And so we are all important. The reality is that when the Holy Spirit comes in our lives, he fills each and every one. There is no like half filled, quarter filled. We all filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, it's true, we can choose how much of that filling we show, but it doesn't change the reality that we are all filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to move this one. Now, in this passage, it speaks of two big mistakes that can happen in the body. The first one is to believe that I am not important. I am not important. The other one is that I say to someone else, you are not important. You see the two dangers? That we look at ourselves and say, I'm not important, I don't have anything to bring. Or we can next see to look at the other person next to us and say, you know, I'm not sure what you, why you're here. Why are you here? What are you doing here? I'm not needed. I'm not a gift to this body. I don't really matter. I have nothing really important to contribute. The best way to illustrate some of it, I found it in a book called, and some of you will enjoy that, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. Now, if you haven't seen that book, there is one there in the side chapel, and it's a great, inspiring book. But I saw three kind of pages there that illustrates the idea of I'm not needed, or, you know, I'm not important. This one is the first one. I'm so small, said the mole. Yes, said the boy. He doesn't deny it, it's small. But you make a huge difference. You make a huge... No, today you might feel I'm quite small. But even in your smallness, you make a huge difference. What about this one? Sometimes I worry you all realize I'm ordinary, said the boy. But love doesn't need you to be extraordinary, said them all. Sometimes you might feel impressed by, you know, the vicar or the people who are in front or the people who can play instruments or can sing, or and you think, you know, I'm just ordinary. Maybe you hide. But there is no extraordinary people here. We're all gifted by God. It's grace, it's mercy. And when there is love, we can then start relax in our ordinariness. Because the reality is, most of our life is quite ordinary. You know, we have to wake up in the morning, you have to eat breakfast. We look at the day and say, oh no, not another day. You know, even your vicar feels like that. You know, you have highs, you have lows. You have problems at home, you know, challenges with the family. Worries with finances. It's quite ordinary. But where there is love, we don't need to be extraordinary. We can be ourselves and start expressing who God made us. What about this one? What do you think is the biggest waste of time? I like this one. Comparing yourself to others. Comparing ourselves to others. And we can't stop doing it. I mean, the whole things of social media is about that. Comparing oneself to others. What a waste of time. And that might kind of feed why we feel, oh, you know, I don't have the gift. If I start comparing, I'm not like him or like her. We should stop that. We are important. You matter. If God brought you to this church, it's for a reason. The other one is that we see is we look at the others and say, well, I'm not sure I need you. You know, the eye cannot say to the hands, I don't need you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. I think I have a slide for this one, yeah. Always remember, that's the antidote. Always remember the other matter. They are important. They are loved. And they bring to this world something that no one else can. So when we, you know, when we compare each other or when we are in danger of saying, you know, I don't need you, just realize that the person you're saying that is precious, is one of a kind. That person, only that person can bring to the world what that person can bring. We are all important. We all matter. Everyone, each of you matter to this faith community. That's what it means to be part of the body. Paul says, you know, even if you feel weak, you're indispensable. You know, even if you're from a low background, maybe you don't have much education, maybe you feel a little bit overwhelmed by some of the stories that you hear of what God does in someone else's life, but you matter. We need to treat each other with great respect because God treats us with great respect. So now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. So that's about the body. That's the first B. Then we have the building, BB. And that's we have in that other reading. And it's a lot of pictures and a lot of words from the Old Testament. And sometimes we need to be aware of that imagery to understand what the writer seems tries to tell us. And the imagery is that, well, they had a building, which was a temple, and was a significant building. If you can think of the big significant building in the Christian life is maybe a cathedral, maybe the cathedral in Canterbury or in York, you know, the main building. Well, they had the temple. But God was doing a new thing through Jesus. He was building not a physical building, but a people building. A new people that would get all the promises that God wanted to give to the people of God before the coming of Jesus, Israel. And so the writer says, come to him. Now, when you come to this building, yes, you come to a building, but you really come to a person. Yes, you come to listen to your vicar or whoever do the talks, but you really want to, through those words, listen to a person, which is Jesus. Come to him. Draw near to God. See what God is saying to you this morning, and maybe just be a phrase, a sentence, maybe some of those pictures. God speaks. He speaks in this building among us as people. And we have this amazing privilege that was only given to certain people in the Old Testament, the priests. Only the priest had the privilege to be in God's presence, in God's special presence, in that temple. But the writer now says, we are all priests. It's not just a privilege to a few. We can all come close to God. We can all have that relationship, that ability to hear God for ourselves. And as we continue to come and make Jesus the center of our worship, the center of what we want to do here in the life of the church, our faith will grow, our worship will grow, our praise will grow. There will be a sense that God is more present, a growing sense of encountering God in all its fullness. And the verb being built in that passage, or being built, growing up, has this idea of growing. And instead of being stones that are stuck in a building that was the temple, you know, unmovable stones, we are not now living stones, movable stones. And it made me think about, there's lots of conversation, of course, in the Church of England with the reality, and sometimes it's so depressing, you know, I need your prayers when I go to those meetings. It's all about decline, and but sometimes I think our building, we reflect too much the dead stones of our building, in a sense, the unmovable. And we need to go back that the building is just a place where the living stones can gather. And living means things need to change as the people, the congregations, the community of faith changes. We need to adapt so that it continues to be a living reality. It speaks of a spiritual house, not a fixed house, a spiritual house. The word in Greek is oikos, the house, and that was a particular word for the temple. But now it's not a physical building, it's a spiritual building. You are the one forming that house. And this is where now God dwells, where God's reality is experienced. And so he wants Christian at that time and us to remind ourselves that we are living stones of God's new temple. We are fluid. We should be fluid. Now, I know I just moved to 50. I think the more we age, the less we find fluid, you know, and start aching, you know, we don't walk as fast as before. And so we need to listen to our young people how to be fluid. But I think for them, it's maybe just too fluid, you know, things change too quickly now. But it's about walking with God, being living stones. Not impressive structures like the temple was, not full of gold and precious jewels, but filled with the beauty of real life. Real story. And the real story is the difficult stories as well as the amazing stories. How we meet God in the low and the highs. How God is transforming us, that people can see lives that are changed and transformed. Contagious faith, people who, despite everything that life might throw at you, still say, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he's faithful. I don't understand. It hurts. It's difficult. Sometimes I want to, what is, throw the sponge? No, throw the towel. Throw the towel. But if I look back, I know God is faithful. He will make a way, even if there seems to be no way. So it's a spiritual house because its influence is dominated, it's guided by God's own presence, the Holy Spirit. And so as we keep on coming to Christ, growing as followers of him, we're going to be continually changed and transformed as this living temple, this living stone. So the first B is body. Yeah. The second B is building. Yes, well done. The first is BBC, country, or nations, you know, holy nations, but Let's go with country. It helps. Yeah. We function as this holy nation. What does it mean to be a holy nation? Well, there was a nation called by God, Israelites. They were called to reflect God's purpose in their time, and then through Jesus, all changed. Now, we don't become part of the family through circumcision and become a Jew and following the laws. We become part of God's family through faith, through believing the message, the good news that on the cross, Jesus dealt with the curse. Jesus dealt with sin. Jesus dealt with death. And those who come to him in faith, who invite him and start following him, there is a promise of God coming, filling you with his presence. And so we now are these nations, these people, this group of people who are called by God to tell the good news. How do we do that? Well, we are called to, in this passage, offer spiritual sacrifice. Spiritual sacrifice. What does it mean? Well, if you look at Old Testament, there was sacrifice, physical, you know, animals that they had to bring for the forgiveness of sins. But those are not the sacrifice now as Christian we bring. Spiritual is ourselves. We bring ourselves, our lives in service. We try to discern what the plans are in our lives. We allow God's gift to be expressed through us, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that we've received through life, the abilities, the experiences. We encourage each other by singing together, and well done for singing that first song, and well done to those who did some of those actions. But we come together to praise our Lord, to encourage one another in doing that. We share. We share our time, we share our possessions. This is a very generous church. And I can say that David Wilkie was full of gratitude when he saw the check on Thursday. It was his licensing, and many people from this church went there to celebrate that with him. And he said, a big thank you for your generosity, as we've raised more than £700 to do. So we are this kind of new nations, new people. And this is the most explicit teaching, that there is no special people in God's nation. There is no special priest anymore. Even the vicar is just one off. We are all priests before God. We are all filled with God's presence, given gifts, and have a purpose in this life. There is no elite priesthood. There is no claims to have special access. I don't have any special access to God. If you're a Christian, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the same access. Same access than me, same access than the Archbishop, even same access than the Pope. That's what it means to be a body. Now, there are different parts with different roles, yes, but there is no higher and lower. There's no special privilege. You are God's chosen people. You are a new nation. Now, why I use this idea of countries, that I will come to the end, is because I think what really people are, what we've been looking and we found, we really found, when we come to faith, we found a home. We found a home with God, and hopefully in a church, in a local church, you found a home in a local church. Not that the local church is perfect, and I'm sure you have quite stories of how imperfect a church can be, and sometimes church are not good places, and sometimes some people need to leave for some time because things are not going well in some churches. But hopefully this is not the case here. And if it is, send me an email. You know, I'll try. And I did. I did receive an email of something that I need to think about, and it's right that I receive those emails when something needs maybe to be redirected. But why I say that is, you know, BBC, building body, and country. Why country? Here's what I found. Sometimes I feel lost, said the boy. Me too, said the woman. But we love you, and love brings you home. I think everyone is just trying to get home. Is that not what it means to be a nation? We are the people who have found the home. We have found where we really belong. We belong to God. God has a future. And so we need to create in this faith community a home when people, new people are coming, that they find themselves, I think this is home. I think with God, I am home. So we do that when we learn to be that body, expressing all its creativity and diversity, guided by the Holy Spirit. It's not our own thoughts. We need to learn to listen to God. And as we do and as we follow Jesus, we will be built in this spiritual house, a place where God will be more and more tangible, more and more present. And we will be like this place where people feel, I have come home. I have come to the country, the real country, the country where God is sovereign, where God transforms, where God heals, where God loves. So we're all part of the body, we're all part of the building, and we're all part of that new country, that new nation. And we do that, we are that, to express, to declare the praises of God. That's God does something in your life so that you can become a witness to others. And what God has done in your life and is doing in your life is unique to you. But don't keep it to yourself. Share it in whatever way fits you. That's what it means to be all involved. To be all involved in declaring the praises of God, declaring what happened to you, what God has done so far, what he might still need to do, to be that honest reality with God. I said I have two more slides. I can't remember I had two more slides. Do I have? I have one more there. What do you think success is? Oh, that's a great one, I think, for the life of this church. What is going to be success? Let's take this church in 10 years' time. Is it going to be 500 people? Is that when we say, wow, we've been successful? Is it going to be, I don't know. I think success will be that. Have we loved well? Have we loved one another well? Have we loved every new people who comes through the door well? In what we do we do that out of a love that's poured from God, or do we do because we want to be important? We want to compete with others? We want to be... What do you think success looks like in the life of this church, but in your life too? To love, said the more. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the one who loved to the end. And through your sacrifice on the cross, breaking the power of sin and death, you've launched a new kingdom of which we are now part, your people. Lord, forgive when our love is weak. Continue to stir us up to be that body that celebrates each and everyone, that celebrates your gifts, the great and the small, and that celebrate the stories of your transforming love and healing. Move us on, we ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.